You've heard our open themes with listeners talking about their vocations.
Missouri dairy farmers, love issues, etc.
And what they're doing while listening to issues, etc.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love issues, etc.
We're looking for more of these elements to include in our open themes. Tell us about your vocation, hobby, or what you do while listening to Issues Etc. Call the Issues Etc. comment line 24/7 at 618-223-8382. If you make a mistake, just start over. 618-223-8382. Thanks for listening, and thanks for contributing to Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
Do you think religious institutions like colleges, churches, charities, should they lose their tax-exempt status if they oppose same-sex marriage?
Yes.
And what is the system of values that can sustain human social life? The fact is that no secular creed has emerged capable of performing the role of religion.
Getting them set up and ready for their abortion procedures and trying to feed them through that conveyor belt that they call healthcare.
Our primary reason for praying for the sick is that they not lose faith. That is the main purpose, that they're preserved from every assault of the evil one as they go through this particular infirmity.
Hello, this is Will from Michigan, and I'm a Lutheran high school teacher and football coach, and I love beginning my day listening to Issues Etc. All right, guys, let's go.
Well, first there were the undercover videos. Do you remember those claims that they had been highly edited, that they were a hoax? Turns out they hadn't been, and that they weren't. Then there were the revelations in those videos about the sale of aborted fetuses and their body parts, some of it illegal, some of it highly unethical. Then comes the trial, not of Planned Parenthood, no, but of those who exposed the illegalities of Planned Parenthood. They were accused in criminal court, and now they're being accused in civil court. The bar for civil charges seems to be lower. We'll see how these things come out. For the Center for Medical Progress, David DeLeiden and his cohorts in undercover journalism, for many people, it was an eye-opener. For many people, they saw it as a turning point in public opinion about Planned Parenthood. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Wednesday afternoon, October the 16th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about Planned Parenthood's civil case against two undercover journalists. Madeline Osborne will be our guest. After that, the question, did David rape Bathsheba? We know there was adultery, murder, deception. Was there also rape involved? Dr. Andrew Steinman, author of the Concordia Commentaries on 1 and 2 Samuel, will be our guest. Then Pastor Hans Feeney joins us. We'll talk about presidential candidate Beto O'Rourke on church and tax-exempt status. He says we all should have seen this coming a long, long time ago. Joining us to talk about Planned Parenthood's civil case against two undercover journalists, Madeline Osborne, a staff editor at The Federalist and producer of The Federalist Radio Hour, author of a recent column on the trial of Planned Parenthood v. the Center for Medical Progress. Madeline, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
At this point, what is Planned Parenthood accusing the Center for Medical Progress of doing?
So they have, I think, 13 counts that they're alleging, including illegal wiretapping, trespassing, fraud, breaches of confidentiality. Those are just the big ones. So essentially illegally recording private, quote-unquote, private conversations.
What did the Center for Medical Progress reveal through its undercover videos about Planned Parenthood's activities?
So the laundry list of the things we learned from their undercover videos is long. The biggest one is that Planned Parenthood was profiting from the sale of fetal tissue. And as these cases have come out, we've learned even more details about that, including like certain types of organ, the wholesale organ providers asked for, such as actual beating hearts from babies or intact fetal heads. Or just this week, someone on the witness stand said that an organ wholesaler asked for Planned Parenthood to provide, you know, 4 specific intact limbs. And she did that successfully, and the organ provider was really impressed and happy with that. So these are the kinds of things that they're exposing, not just the graphic details, but also just the illegal profiting off of fetal tissue sales.
What were the previous trials of David DeLeiden and others associated with CMP about?
Sure. So it's a little confusing because it's just like they're taking on back-to-back legal battles. About a month ago, they were in court for a preliminary hearing, which basically means that the judge is trying to decide if he wants to take their case to a jury trial. But the preliminary hearing was for the case from actually the one that Kamala Harris started prosecuting DeLeiden for whenever she was Attorney General. So that was the state of California actually prosecuting DeLeiden and his team for illegal recordings as well. This month is a new trial. This is actually Planned Parenthood's lawsuit against DeLeiden. So he's got it coming at him from both sides, the state and Planned Parenthood themselves.
Why is the judge in this case attempting to exclude evidence of Planned Parenthood's sale of fetal body parts and the other things uncovered by CMP?
So that's a great question. It's complicated. He's an Obama-appointed judge, Judge Oregon, and he's based in California. So that's probably one reason that Planned Parenthood wanted to have the case in a San Francisco court. It's kind of like playing on their home turf. So from a legal standpoint, the judge would say he wants this to be completely about the question about whether what makes these videos illegal or not is whether they are private conversations. Now, I've talked to DeLeiden, and he said that, you know, he talked to plenty of California legal experts before he even undertook this project, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. And they all confirmed his understanding that the California video recording law does not prohibit anybody from recording conversations that are outside in a public area that anyone else can oversee or hear. And that California also explicitly permits recording even a private conversation if you're doing it to gather evidence of a violent crime. So under both of those statutes, he should be perfectly legal. So what they're trying to prove in this case is that the conversations are private. And the way they're trying to, the defense is trying to say, no, you know, you can watch these videos and you can see here, there was, you know, they're in a hotel lobby and you can see people walking by, or they're at a restaurant in this video and you can hear the waiter come by and ask them for, you know, their order. And so these are the little types of things that they're trying to sort through to determine if these recordings are illegal or not. Now, the judge, he's trying to keep it, the focus on that, right? He's trying to keep the focus on just the legality of the videos, and he doesn't want to get into the content of the videos, because Planned Parenthood obviously doesn't want to get into the content of the videos. They don't want to be talking about what are their doctors and their directors and their salesmen, their fetal tissue salesmen, what are they saying in the videos? They don't want to have that out in court transcripts. So it's tricky, because from a legal standpoint, you could say, well, he's just trying to keep it on the question that's at stake. But the defense's whole point is, the way to understand whether these are illegal or not is you have to understand what was the state of mind of these undercover journalists when they were doing these quote-unquote illegal recordings. They were trying to prove a violent crime. So that's kind of why it's a little sticky.
Has the judge been consistent in his application of this exclusion?
I haven't been in the courtroom, but I've read the transcripts, and my interpretation of the transcripts is no. And sometimes he'll allow Planned Parenthood attorneys to play videos, but when it comes to the defense doing the same thing, saying like, hey, can we show whether this video, because we think, you know, this shows that they were in a public place, he will either say no, or he'll say yes, you can show it to the witness, but you can't show it to the jury, or you can show it to the witness, but without the sound on, or you can show it without any captions on. So he doesn't want to get any of the content, any of the actual conversation get leaked into the courtroom.
Has that information nonetheless still been getting to the jury occasionally during this trial?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think it's whenever they've been cross-examining the undercover journalists, they still get to, why are you doing this and why did you do these recordings? And they can't avoid them telling their story about, you know, what they heard and what they saw and why they wanted to record, you know, what evidence led them to go and record these videos. So it's come out in that way, cross-examining the journalists, but it's also come out in cross-examining of the other people in the videos, the Planned Parenthood directors, the Planned Parenthood doctors, the tissue providers and tissue salesmen. Those are being, they are being on the witness stand too. And so it's still obvious what the videos are about. It's just that he's restricting exactly how graphic and how honest they can be. But we're definitely still getting a lot of admissions to the types of illegal activity that was happening.
Do we know why Planned Parenthood dropped some of its charges against CMP?
Yeah, so I talked to Delayton's lawyer about that, and he said that they ended up, I think there was originally maybe 15 charges, and they dropped at least a couple of them just for the fact that they knew that getting into details on certain charges, in order to prove certain charges, they would themselves would have had to maybe play some videos they didn't want to play or would have had to brought up some issues that they didn't want to bring up. So they just went ahead and actually dropped those so they didn't even have to enter those evidence into the record.
Do we know why Planned Parenthood has drastically reduced the amount of damages it's seeking?
My interpretation is that that's just come with dropping the charges. So with every charge, you are able to calculate, well, this charge cost us this much in security or whatever damages they're seeking. So I think that is just the damages are correlated with the charges.
Can a jury fairly decide this particular civil suit without hearing about Planned Parenthood's illegal and unethical activities?
You know, I personally don't think so. As I'm not a legal expert, so maybe a really good lawyer could argue otherwise. But what Delayton's defense attorney told me is that you can't really keep out of the lawsuit the reason why the entire project was undertaken. And you can't have a trial without telling people what the journalists were doing at these abortion conferences or why they were recording these videos with abortion doctors. That has a significant bearing on how you view the project. So I don't think the jury will be able to avoid weighing that in on their decision as to whether these recordings were illegal under California law or not.
Many people who were watching this going on were not at all upset that Planned Parenthood planned to pursue this line of civil accusations against Delayton and the others precisely because they believed that that would give the opportunity for the contents of these videos, the things said on them, to be entered into the official record and not just be something floating around on the internet. Do you think that they are going to be disappointed in the end, regardless of how this trial comes out?
Yeah, that's a good point. The trial kind of gives more validity to these videos because when these videos first came out, that was Planned Parenthood's immediate defense and immediate reaction was like, these are fake, these are doctored, this is crazy fringe YouTube stuff, and just blew it off. And of course, the media ran with that too. They always referred to them in headlines as quote-unquote doctored videos, even though there have been other rulings in Texas stating these are not doctored videos in the Fifth Circuit, I think. So, yeah, that's a good question. I think they will be disappointed as more and more evidence comes out. I mean, Planned Parenthood is fighting tooth and nail. They have one of the world's largest law firms representing them. They have the media representing them that has, of course, blackballed this story. This trial hasn't been in any local or national news outlets. I've checked the LA Times. I checked the San Francisco Chronicle. Nothing. So Planned Parenthood has every major institution on their side, but I think that Planned Parenthood supporters will be disappointed by the fact that these videos are coming out, whether they like it or not.
In terms of PR, does it have a tendency, especially the civil trial, to expose what shall we say, the vindictive nature of Planned Parenthood against those who would try to expose what it has been up to for years and years.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think the criminal case actually displayed that better than this case, because that was just blatant evidence of the corruption of Planned Parenthood and the way that they operate as a political machine, right? They're not a healthcare provider. They are a political machine through and through. And that came out in the trial last month, as we saw all this evidence of how Kamala Harris receives millions of dollars from Planned Parenthood. What does Kamala Harris turn around and do as soon as Planned Parenthood is accused of illegal activity? She immediately starts prosecuting the journalist who revealed the illegal activity. So it's just blatant corruption. And I think that we're starting to see that more and more as people try to come to their defense.
Do you think that from Planned Parenthood's side, in terms of strategy, they want to make an example of David Daleiden and the Center for Medical Progress to deter others from trying to do the same thing that they did?
100%. I'm sure. You know, Planned Parenthood themselves is in a bit of a soul-searching crisis. They just had, last year after Cecile Richards stepped down, they had a new director, and this new director didn't last more of a year. And since she resigned, or was forced to resign, I think in July, we've seen more and more stories come out about just how she just tweeted yesterday about how she believes abortion should be safe, legal, and rare. And she wanted to push Planned Parenthood to be actually more of a health care provider like they claim. And Planned Parenthood just fought this new director, Lena Nguyen is her name, back on this to the point where they ended up basically forcing her to resign. And that just is proof that they're not health care providers. What they want is abortion anytime, anywhere, and they want the government to pay for it. They want taxpayers to pay for it. And so they're in a bit of their own crisis right now in dealing with these little cracks coming through. We see, when we see things like this, like their director being forced to step down and hearing what she had to say from the inside, we see more about what they're really about.
Madeline Osborne is staff editor at The Federalist and producer of The Federalist Radio Hour. She's author of a recent column on the trial of Planned Parenthood via the Center for Medical Progress. You'll find links to her columns and to the Federalist Radio Hour at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Madeline, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Well, the debate still rages on the internet and in the halls of academia. The question at the center of the debate, the famous story of King David and Bathsheba, did David rape Bathsheba? We'll talk with Dr. Andrew Steinman about it next.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority, they've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com, thecleaningauthority.com.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century.
Rest in the cold,
12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.